It's good to see everybody out this morning. It's always wonderful to come together to study God's Word. Always wonderful to come and to have a full crowd and to have a lot of pews filled up, have visitors with us. We are encouraged by your presence. We hope that we have been encouraging you so far, and hope that if you have the time, that you'll stick around afterwards. Let us get to know you a little bit if it's your first time visiting, or if it isn't, then let us get to know you a little more, get to visit, catch up. And if you've never filled out a visitor's card, please make sure one of us get a visitor's card to you so we have a record of your attendance with us and a reminder to us. So we thank you, everybody, for being here. It's always good to be with brother and sister in Christ. To me, sometimes not necessarily difficult topic, but a little more fun topic and making sure that we understand and trying to explain to others is explaining the Godhead, talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to point out that they are all three God, but yet they're all three separate, and to the point that they are one, but yet they are all individual. And so I want to go ahead and do my best at presenting that this morning, and hopefully bring it out in a manner of understanding the Word of God as we talk about this subject, as we talk about marriage, and we talk about the church. I always like to point out that God's math is not our math. So that's the way I like to explain it. God doesn't add the way we do. And start off with a point. I've heard a couple analogies on the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And one that I disagree with, one that I can see and somewhat agree with. And point that out real quick, and I might bring it up again throughout the lesson and pointing out why I believe it and disagree with one. The first analogy is one I think more people have heard, is talking about water, ice, and evaporation, steam. And some people try to bring out that is like God, Father, and Holy Spirit. I disagree with this one. And to the point that this is talking in a format of saying, well, God the Father changed into God the Son, which changed into the Holy Spirit. Because you have one that is, you know, fluid, liquid, and one that turns into ice. And it's a different transformation of water. This is what all three of them, they're all the same thing, but they all transform themselves. God did not transform himself into the Son and then transform himself into the Holy Spirit. It is not just one transformation after the other. But rather, I like to use the analogy, if we need an analogy that I go along with more accepting, is that of an egg. And to the point out that you have the eggshell, you have an egg white, and you have the egg yolk. And so all three can be separated, but all three are still an egg. All three are still the egg. And they are one egg, but yet they're all individually separate, an egg of their own, to that point also. And so if you're one in analogy, there were two that I heard, one that I kind of agree with, and the other that I completely disagree with. And so we'll look to the Word of God, and I think the Bible will best explain it in itself. And so the first point I want to bring out is the separateness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we can see that throughout the Word of God, and we'll just be bringing out some of the passages. You might have other passages in your mind that help go forth and explain this. But I want to just start off in the beginning. In the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, Genesis 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And so right off the bat, as we start in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, we're going to go forth and point out how I can point out that all three were there in the beginning. All three. And we see that God the Father is, and point God, oftentimes, most times, and I'm not going to say every time, because as we look through the Word of God, most of the time it talks about God, it's usually referring to the Father. When it says Lord, decent amount of time, it's referring to Christ. And of course, Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, but not always. sometimes you see Lord God, and so therefore, you know, it's not just directly to one, or it is directly to one, that Jesus is God, all right? Holy Spirit, God. God the Father, Father God. And so, as it brings out here, though, it brings out God created the heavens and the earth. And the Holy Spirit, it brings out, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then you turn to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." And how we know that, when it's talking about Jesus here with the Word, because you jump down to verse 14, and it says, "And the Word became flesh." And so we know that it's talking about Jesus there. Jesus was there in the beginning. He was with God. He was God. All things were made through our Lord Jesus Christ. So all three were there in the beginning. And I've heard it and I've used it myself. As you look in verse 3, it says, "And God said, let there be light." And you kind of reference that John 1, that Jesus is the Word. You might refer that here, all three verses, you can get God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit here just in those first three verses. That they're all three there. We see them individually at the same time. And so it's not one changing and transforming into another appearance in three different ways, but all separate within themselves of being an individual. God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And even as we turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and 27, when God created mankind, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image, in the image of God. He created them male and female. He created them. And so as you get into verse 27, it goes into a more singular term. He created them in His own image. But as you look at verse 26, it says, let us make man in our image. And so here speaking that there wasn't just one, just the Father or just Jesus or just the Holy Spirit that was creating us. And we see all three were there in the beginning as they created man in the image of God. All three. A good example to see all three once more, we can turn to Matthew chapter 3 and look at the baptism of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Matthew 3 and in verse 13. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill the righteousness.' Then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus, the Son, came up immediately from the water. Behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw what? He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" We see all three here at the baptism of our Lord and Savior. All right? Because Jesus, the Son of God, is being baptized. He is being immersed in the water. He's being lifted up out of the water. As he is lifted up, as he is baptized, here he looks up and he sees the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove. And then from another spot, it doesn't say he heard a voice from the dove or from the Spirit. He heard a voice from heaven. He hears the Father speaking, "This is my beloved Son. That I am pleased in him. This is my Son." And so again, we have all three in one spot. So we can see that it's not just one transformation into another, but all three exist at the same time. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we can see another example is Jesus. Jesus prays, right? Jesus isn't praying to himself. He's not sitting there going, "What do I think I need to do? This is the way I said I'm going to have to do it." And this is, no, Jesus prays to the Father. In Matthew 26 and verse 39, Matthew 26 and verse 39, as he goes into the garden here, as you read here, 26 and verse 39, as it reads, it says, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Here, as we look at the prayer, he is praying to the Father. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Father. He prays to the Father. He speaks to him and asks for his comfort. He says, if it be any other way for this to take place. And so again, we see that he is not the same into this point right here, into this existence of all transforming into one or the other. And again, this is why I don't like the water analogy. In John chapter 15, again, getting to the end of the life of Christ and him telling the disciples to prepare themselves for this, but he brings out what God the Father has already promised to them here. In verse 15, chapter 15 and verse 26, it says, but when the Helper comes, the Helper, speaking of the Holy Spirit here, when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you, from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Again, Jesus says, the Father's promise, he's going to send the Helper. When I get home, when I go to heaven, when I go and be with the Father again, I will send him, who he has promised. I'm going to send the Helper. Who's the Helper? The Holy Spirit. He doesn't say, I will transform into the Holy Spirit. God is going to transform into the Holy Spirit. No, he says, we are going to send. All right? So again, the separateness that we see through the Scriptures. We often turn to Ephesians chapter 4 when we talk about the oneness and we talk about one God, one church, one faith. But here, as we bring out here in Ephesians, it separates the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit also. In Ephesians chapter 4, and starting there in verse 4. Hebrews 4 and verse 4 says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. And so here it brings up, there is one Spirit, there is one Lord, there is one Father. There's one of each. And so here we bring out the separateness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, we can go through many scriptures, and I'm just going to bring out a few for this point here, is to bring out there's many that tell us that there is only one God. One God. All right? And point out that the scriptures do not go forth and contradict one another. So when we feel like it's a contradiction, then that means we need to study and figure out why it's that way. It means we don't fully understand it, because God does not contradict himself through the scriptures. So let us look through the scriptures here. I want to bring out, in this point, just bring out verses that point out the oneness. And in my next point, we'll explain how they are one. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 35. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 35. You turn along with me there. As it reads here, it says, to you it was shown that you might know the Lord himself is God. There is none other besides him. And so here again, you know the Lord. There's no other God. None. Besides one. There's only one God. Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah 46 and in verse 9. Isaiah 46 and in verse 9. It says, remember the former things of the old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Again, here, bringing out that he is God. There is no other God. That there is none other like our God. Now, we know we can say the lowercase g, gods, and bring out so many different idols in which the people of Israel, the Canaanites, the Egyptians, the Canaanites, everyone that got caught up in worshiping these idols and calling them gods. And we saw, as we've been studying throughout the Old Testament, that even they thought Israel had multiple gods. They would refer, well, their gods are coming, and so what are we going to do? And they misunderstood that there was only one God. And so here God continuously pointing that out, that there is only one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and in verse 4 says, therefore concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. Again, making that point. They were caught up as God had declared the food good, and here they're trying to figure out what they could and could not eat. And so some of the brethren at this time and point struggled eating the food that was offered up to idols. God is saying through Paul here, as he's guided by the Holy Spirit, he says, what is an idol? It's an image. It's nothing. So all honesty, they're just burning the food and proclaiming that they're doing it to their gods, but it's nothing. There's only one God. And so all they're doing is going through a ritual that's getting them nowhere. Because there's only one God. Again, continuously that point throughout the Bible that there is only one God. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and in verse 29. Romans 3 and in verse 29. It says, or is he the God of the Jews only? Or is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith, the uncircumcised through faith, do we then make void of the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. And so here, the Jews and Gentiles, the struggle of the new covenant that God has established, Jews struggling with accepting the Gentiles, Gentiles accepting, you know, those Jews who have been cast off, being branched back in. And so is God just God of one or the other? No, God is only one God, so he has to be God of both. He's God of the Jews and the Gentiles because there is only one God. And so how do we plug in this point with our last point? That there is only one God, and yet we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. How do we put those together? How are they one? Again, God's math is not our way. But we can see through the scriptures and come to an understanding of how they are one, especially as we look to our Lord's Prayer as he prays for our unity, for the church to become one. You open your Bibles and turn along with me in John. In John chapter 17. John chapter 17, and read along with me here, starting and in verse 20. John 17 is starting and in verse 20. It says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. So again, here he's praying that you and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, may become one. So we can open up our Bibles, we can turn to Corinthians, and we can study about the one body and yet many members, right? We can go forth and explain, just because I'm an eye and not the ear doesn't mean you're not the member. Just because maybe you're the pinky of the body and you're not the heart of the body does not mean you're not a member. You're not part of the one body of Christ. And so we are all individually members, but as we come together, we make it whole, make it complete. We are one body of Christ. And so as he brings out that he's praying for our unity, that's the unity, that's the oneness that we're supposed to have. He says that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you have gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. How are they one? Well, it's how we're supposed to be one. In the same point that we're supposed to be one with them and one-mindedness and being complete and working together. As Jesus
had his own mindset, and to the point as he's up on this earth and he's praying to God the Father, and he's saying, it's going to be a lot of pain, and it's going to be hard to go through. And so if there's any other way in which this can take place, understand, he's not willing to rebel against, he's not willing to change what needs to be done. He loves the world. He loves you. Jesus loves you. We're just saying, Jesus loves me, right? He loves me. The Bible tells us Jesus loves you. But if there's another way in which this can be done, he was ready to let it be done. But nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. He was willing to be in one with the Father, not go against the Father's will, against, because they were one in mindset, that they wanted you and I to be saved. They were one in the mindset of the salvation of the people. They were one in the mindset in the beginning of time when they said, let us create this world. And so they said, let there be light. And in 26 and 27, let us make man in our image. They were one in deciding in their decision. They are one working together. They are one. And we should be striving to be one. And now we don't gain deity as we obey the gospel and we come. But what does it say if we remain faithful till death? That we receive an inheritance with Christ. We become children of God. We receive a spirit of adoption. So when it comes to the end of time, though, we don't become God, and we're still going to be there. We're going to worship our God. We're going to worship our Lord and the Holy Spirit. We are children of God. We've gained some stuff from our Lord as He died for us. And as we remain faithful and as we are changed and brought to heaven in the end of time. They are one in our salvation, one in their decision. Matthew 28, again, as we go forth and we talk about our salvation, and sometimes I believe we leave the Holy Spirit out more than often. We talk about the Father a lot, we talk about the Son a lot, Jesus, and remembering that when we are obeying the gospel, when we are baptized, when we are saved, all three have a part in our salvation. We read here as Jesus in verse 18 tells him, all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. In verse 19, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That when we are saved by the Father, by the Son, and by the Holy Spirit. We are saved by them all. Understand that. Make sure we understand that and believe that. Yes, it is the blood of Christ that washes our sins away. But guess what? God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. So what God are we talking about there? God the Father. Because He sent His Son down to die. But who did Jesus send as God the Father had willed it to be? They sent the Helper down. What did He do? He revealed us the Word. All men spoke and wrote these things down as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Again, without it, how would we have faith? How would we believe? And how could we come to that belief and have our confession and be baptized into Christ without the Holy Spirit giving us the Word? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They are one. There's nothing in here in this Bible that God the Father didn't want us to have. There's nothing in here in the Bible that Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son, did not want us to have. There's nothing in here that the Holy Spirit did not want us to have. When you understand that all three are separate individually to that point that we can see all three throughout the Word of God at the same time in certain points. And yet, they are one. And ruling and their deity. And even as we go forth and teaching us and our salvation, who do we give credit to? We need to give credit to all of them. Who do we need to worship? We need to worship them all. Understand, they are God. We would not exist without the Son, the Father, or the Holy Spirit. We would not have salvation without the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. And so I hope that I've explained it. Maybe I've made more questions for you. And be more than willing to sit down and study it further if that's your desire to. As we look and search the Scriptures, it's something that we need to understand. We need to understand the Holy Spirit.
We need to understand the Son. We need to understand our Father. I hope that I have helped. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, if you're here and you've yet to be baptized, as we've read here in Matthew 28 and verse 19, you've yet to wash your sins away through the blood of Christ, being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then you can do that this morning. We will assist you as you make your confession, as you repent of your sins and you wash your sins away. If you're here and you need the prayer of congregation,